A Neurotic Prediction, starring Gary Bigler and Dennis Bethelton.
Hi. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. Hi, Gary. How's it going?
Good. How about you?
Not bad.
Hey, we're the Sutro Watchtower Podcast.
We are the Sutro Watchtower Podcast. I'm in San Diego. I'm Dennis Patholkas. With me, as always, is...
Gary Beekler in San Francisco. Trying not to interrupt you. Yeah. Like, we're professionals. We know how to do this. We've done it before. We've actually done it 34 times before.
We have. And by it, we mean podcasting, that, you know.
Come on. Okay, so we've done a bunch of little specials. We've done a bunch of little specials, and they've actually worked out well. And my new titling has seemed to have gotten us some more hits. And it sucks, because you can't be creative with the titles, but if you just put the name, you just glom off of whatever we're reviewing or recording, and we're getting a lot more hits, so I'm going to go with it. So tonight, due to time restrictions, and I do apologize for taking time out of Dennis's busy day, my wife is out of town, so we can only talk about one thing, and it's the only thing we should talk about. And Dennis, I am fired up.
So we're just going to talk about, you mean we're just going to talk about one thing, right?
Yeah, Outlander.
So that one thing.
Oh, no.
Okay, cool.
What were you thinking about?
I was thinking Penny Dreadful myself.
Oh, God. You know, tell you what, real quick. I like Penny Dreadful, and I had no idea it premiered last night. I was like, there's a new one on my DVR. Fuck yeah. So it was like extra. It's really kind of cool not being all dialed in nerd all the time, you know, and maybe I shouldn't say that on our podcast, but, you know, nothing surprised me at the comic shop. It was always somebody blabbing about something. But I do want to say, Dennis, that three people, it was great seeing Age of Ultron at Daily City, even though it was, I'll get into the weather thing later, but I ran into three people and all three of them said, I can't wait to hear about it on the podcast. And I was like, yeah,
nice.
You know, that was cool. Out of the three people that I talked to, 100% of them are watching the podcast or listening. And that's cool. So it's very flattering to think that people want to actually hear what we think. That's not why we do this. You know, it's
no.
Our opinion is no more important than anybody else. And I keep telling myself that so my little head won't get so big. Because my wife will come by and pop it like a little balloon anyway. So where did you...
Yeah, we do this strictly for fun.
Yeah. So the one thing, obviously, is the movie of the year. Until Star Wars comes out, I guess. But for Dennis and I, the movie of the year, Avengers Age of Ultron came out. Dennis, let's start, you know, because I've talked so much already. I want to hear what Dennis thinks of Age of Ultron.
So I went and saw it, of course, at the Arclight Theater here in La Jolla. And the Arclight Theater is in 3D widescreen with Dolby Atmos, you know, surround sound. Dolby Atmos, by the way, is 72 speakers, you know, all the way around you. So you got, you know, sound just pumping at you. For the first 5 minutes, what really sucked is my 3D glasses weren't working well.
So how are your glasses not working? Were they electric?
They're the battery powered ones. So the shutter ones. So yeah, it was smudged, and so what was happening was I was getting two off centered views. It was kind of like a screen was split in half.
Okay, wait a minute. Now, is this at the digital XD version of it or something that you get that? Because I've never used an electronic set of glasses. That must be an Arclight thing or something.
They have them. There's two different kinds. There's a passive 3D and then there's an active. We have the active one.
Okay.
And TVs have them too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You have the... Yeah.
Can I bring mine for my TV? Ones.
You probably could. Yeah.
Interesting.
And get away with it. Yeah. So once I got it, I got the smudges taken off. It was the right lens that had smudges on it. Once I cleaned it, it was fine. So with that aside, it was good. I mean, there were some pacing problems here and there, but I know he had actually, Joss Whedon had whittled it down from 3.5 hours to 2.5 hours. So there were some things that, you know, didn't make much sense. Like, the whole Thor's vision thing where he goes into the, you know, water or whatever. And, you know, that just seemed kind of out of nowhere. It just seemed really weird.
Yep.
And I know there was more to it than that.
Yes.
And he had to cut out a lot, from what I understand, of that part. And, you know, it was just, from what I understand also, and we're going to head into spoilers territory here. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, you might as well stop listening and go and see the movie and then come back and you can listen to us again.
Yeah.
At one point, Nick Fury shows up with an old helicarrier, you know?
Yep.
And where the hell did he get this from? Supposedly, we're going to find out on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Where the mothballs hair. Well, I knew that they had put that one when they destroyed all the helicarriers in Captain America. They do talk about that the original is like mothballed.
Yeah.
They do mention it in the movie. I point backwards because it's playing behind me.
Yeah. And he just explains that, you know, he got some old friends to help him.
Yeah.
It's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
Yeah. Kevin Feige already said that they're going to have. It could be tomorrow night's episode. It could be next week's, you know, season finale. So we don't know yet.
I want to talk about that too, because I think, as a whole, I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. completely missed the mark of why it exists, leading to this movie.
Well, Joss Whedon talked about that on Twitter. Well, actually, no, a Vanity Fair article, and he said they're very. Basically, Marvel's very upset with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because it's not tying in well with the cinematic universe. They're trying to jump ahead of the cinematic universe, and it's not working well with it.
No, it's not.
So they don't know what to do with it. Yeah. And that was the thing. And then Joss said that it's not part of the Marvel universe. They're not part of the Marvel cinematic universe, and yet they're using it to lead in to these movies, like, you know, Age of Ultron. As a matter of fact, the end of last week's episode was originally ties into the beginning of Age of Ultron because they say, okay, you know, we've got this information. It's time to send in the Avengers. It's time to call the Avengers. So, yeah.
Well, let's talk about that right now. The whole damn season should have been about them finding the scepter. And yes, we're going to go into spoiler territory. Every podcast, we're going to assume that you've seen it. We're not going to sit there and break down the story for you. There's nothing more boring than hearing you and I or any other podcaster break down what we already saw. It's boring. So the whole season should have been about finding the GD scepter. The Inhumans is fine, but they've done it to death, and I stopped watching. I mean, I just watched that last episode to see if there would be a lead into the Avengers. It led in so nice to Cap. You know what I mean? That was perfect synergy. Exactly. So it seems like they lost it on the Avengers. Age of Ultron.
Their ratings actually took a big hit. Let's put it this way. Flash almost beat S.H.I.E.L.D.
I thought it did. So it almost beat it.
It almost people they had the real numbers came out and Angel Shield just got a little ahead of it.
Well, Flash is a better show.
You got to remind you, Flash is on CW.
Yeah,
which isn't a network TV. It's not considered a network TV, so it has less viewership than ABC does.
Yes.
So that just goes to show you, if Flash is beating it out, they've got to up their numbers, you know, in order to stay on the air.
Well, now that Joss is off of, I mean, this is his last Marvel film. He's going to act as executive producer, I'm sure. But now that he's off this project, and I know he's taking a break, he's not going to go back to working on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like he, you know, he was a little hands-on in first episode. I sense a creative team switch after this season.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially you heard Joss also deleted his Twitter account, too.
Oh, why?
Because they didn't like that he was being a little too free with what he was saying. And yeah, so it just happened fairly recently. Even Warren Ellis was talking about it too. And it was kind of funny. One of Joss's last tweets was, and it says, Disney execs, : I hope he doesn't say anything inflammatory. And then it says, me, : gee, that Annie remake was lots of fun, wasn't it? Execs. Oh my God, no.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So, and during the junkets and things like that, he's not been too kind to Marvel lately. So, there's been, I think, a little bit of some falling out after this movie.
Yeah, I think he's also sick. I mean, he sounded sick of it after the first one, to be honest with you. I was surprised he came back for this one. This wasn't a bad movie. Okay, what did I think of it? I liked it. I liked it a lot. I think they've set the bar so freaking high. If everybody expects that each movie is going to be better than the next, you're crazy. I think this was like the fourth best Marvel movie, fourth or fifth. It was definitely better than Thor: Dark World or the first Captain America movie. You know, it was, I did a little mini audio thing with Bert. So about this movie, but it was more of a semi attempt at comedy. But we talked about, it's basically a remake of the first one. It's the same pacing, except with a big farm scene chunked in the middle. And they give you that little short story. The girl from Freaks and Geeks is in it, by the way, who looks just like my friend Vivian Isabel, by the way. Very pretty girl.
Yeah, Linda Cardelli.
Yeah. And the whole thing with Hawkeye having a kid was a good spin. It would have been great for 5 minutes. But it stayed on that a little too long. I understand why they did it. And again, it really... I walked out of this movie. Okay, for one, I really liked it. It's the fourth, like I said, it's the fourth or fifth best Marvel film. I'm going to enunciate all my words now. Go back and watch it again. It's a comic book movie. With the farm scene, though, it just went on too long. And like you just alluded to, you can totally tell if you've ever been to film school or have ever learned how to make a movie that this thing is missing chunks of information. Just chunks of information. And okay, I'm going to ask you a question. Extended scene on the extended version on the DVD, like 3 hours?
Extended, they're going to have deleted scenes. There's an alternate ending as well.
Really?
Because he had thought of a different ending completely, and then I guess he switched it. So that means somebody else, I think, had died first.
I think Hawkeye dies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they were setting it up. I mean, you saw Hot Shots, right? Yeah. You saw, wasn't Hawkeye set up as dead meat the whole time, right?
Yeah, well, the whole thing, he goes, I got to come back. He goes, I got to finish the floor.
I got to finish the floor. And my kids. Yeah, it's like, he's just kill him already, okay? Just kill Hawkeye. And Hawkeye dies in the Marvel Universe. I fully expected Hawkeye to die this episode. I thought him or Black. Yeah. The only reason I didn't think Black Widow would bite it is because she's the only girl on the team. Now, she might not. Now she's not. But, and let's I'm not going to break down the whole damn movie.
I do want to talk about one thing, though. I was reading an article today that they were talking about, you know, why they focus so much on saving the people. And that was actually a conscious decision. They said after him and Kevin Feige had talked about both Man of Steel and the first Avengers, that too much emphasis is put on, you know, all these cities being crumbled around without these people being saved.
Yeah.
And so they wanted to show the heroic aspect that, sure, they can't save everybody, but they're trying at least, you know, and that's what the hero is.
What are the best scenes from Spider-Man and from the first Superman movie is when he's saving, when Superman's flying over the Golden Gate Bridge and he, during the earthquakes and all he's doing is saving people. You know what I mean? Yep. When did it have to become a big battle with the baddie? I love it when the baddie puts, you know, the baddie does what a baddie does is, oh, he cares about people. I'm going to kill them all. And then he saves people. And, you know, saving the busload of kids on the Golden Gate Bridge, which is going to be in our intro, by the way, our future intro. The heroic aspect, I love that decision. I dislike the decision of not doing a 3-hour movie. I mean, it's just like, you did a 2-hour and 20-minute movie. You might as well go 3 because that's already past the threshold of kids. And
exactly.
You know, and my kid was engaged. The only time he disengaged and actually said out loud in the theater he wanted to go home was during the farm scene. you know, but this is a comic book movie. This was a comic book movie. This is comic book stuff. Lots of fighting of robots. Lots of big scenes. I think we're just spoiled. We are spoiled freaking geeks because there was a lot of the Avengers fighting together shots, which were fucking awesome, by the way. And I don't get tired of, but yeah. I guess some people did, you know?
And Ultron. I mean, James Spader just, you know, knocked it out of the park.
Nailed it. Was perfect. And I don't know if people like read enough comics to know that that was Ultron. That was that.
Not only that, but he channeled Robert Downey Jr. too.
Yeah.
He was doing the same kind of assholishness that Tony Stark does. And he was just doing it right on, spot on. And I'm like, only evil.
When he rips the claw's arm off, who, by the way, that of any guy who's ever gotten his arm ripped off, the claw took it the best, man. He's a badass. Sorry. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. You know, it's just so cool. I can't wait to see it again. I was actually going to see it again today, but I've been too busy dealing with podcasts. And I've taken advantage of not having a wife here, so my house is a fucking mess. I've been eating pizza for 2 days, and I'm wearing the same underwear I have for 4 days. I'm actually not wearing pants right now. But, Dennis, I want to go back to do you think they would consider... If you're going to do a 3.5-hour version, I want to see it in the theaters, man. I want to see it in the theaters.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to do it, honestly. I think Marvel... They're looking at how many asses can they get in the seat for repeated viewing so they can break records. That's what they're looking at.
Yeah, because they've already made their money back. They made their money back before it opened in the United States. They actually went down on the budget on this one, and the special effects weren't perfect all the time. Some of them hit the mark. Some of them didn't. But they don't need to hit the mark all the time. I love that I actually love that decision because now you're going to get more of these movies. If they're not doing this and they're pumping in like James Cameron-style $500 million into a movie, that's why, you know, I'm going to call it right now. I don't think you'll ever see an Avatar sequel, ever.
No, they're saying he's already got the sequels written.
As he shot them?
They're working on them.
Nobody will find that guy.
They're actually going to do it at the end of this year.
Well, start. I see, you know, Avengers is not world, you know, before I walked into the movie, I kind of figured, is this going to be kind of like Iron Man 2? And in a lot of ways it was. There's a lot of setup, but... people walked out disappointed because, and it wasn't for major plot points. They were disappointed because there wasn't a stinger at the end. They were disappointed because I don't think a lot of people caught the Marvel Easter eggs. There wasn't as many. They didn't decide to, you know, they planted Wakanda. That was pretty much it. I have to go and see it again to see if there was little ones I missed, but I didn't see a whole lot. But
no, there's the claw, of course. You got the claw in there as well. And what else was there? There was a couple other things. Actually, one of the Firefly shout-outs I liked was Jarvis is my co-pilot.
Uh-huh. Oh, dude, and that sticker was out the next day, and I actually ordered one on Amazon.
Nice.
Yeah. And another thing. Let's get into the new characters. I mean, because that was the most exciting bit, and that's what, you know, the Avengers is known for is lineup changes. They do it every few episodes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch real quick.
The one thing I didn't like about them, and I'm just going to go right into it, is the accents. The accents just sounded like really, really bad Russian accent. Like, I'm going to do a really bad Russian accent now, and this is what is going on in the movie.
Yes.
I am going to do the Russian
accent. I am the Quicksilver.
Yeah,
I don't need the dialect because Russian is so easy, even though there is a Ukrainian dialect and a Khmerian dialect, and nobody knows these things because they are stupid Americans. No, for one, the kick. Let's talk right out the Kick-Ass connection to Quicksilver. By the way,
yeah.
So we have Kick-Ass's friend from the first movie. Plays a Quicksilver in X-Men who did it better. I'm sorry, the X-Men Quicksilver was better.
It was better. That was because he had a smaller part, though, in it, too. And so they could steal the scene.
And Matthew Vaughn wrote that scene. There's no way Bryan Singer
did. Yes, he did.
Yeah. And also, so the guy who played Kick-Ass played Quicksilver. Now, I have a little problem. Again, spoiler warning. I have a little problem Quicksilver dying by he being hit by bullets. He is Quicksilver.
Well, yeah, he should have been able to catch the bullets.
Yes.
But the thing was, it was showing that he was willing to sacrifice himself.
Yes.
To save. And that was the whole thing. I saw it was coming, and I was just like, nah, man.
Yeah.
You know, it just, it kind of pissed me off a little bit.
Yep.
But at the same time, I'm just like, it's Joss Whedon. Somebody has to die.
Somebody has to die. The relationship between Black Widow and Hulk, I guarantee you that was a management decision that did not feel like a Joss Whedon decision. You know what? I wish they had more time to develop it because it actually makes sense. It does make sense.
The whole awkwardness of the shower, you know, when he comes out of the shower and she's talking about, you know, oh, we should have gotten the shower together. Oh, and by the way, I'm sterilized too.
The
you know
sterile I mean? Thing was, whoa, to yeah, stop.
yeah.
And now I don't want to have sex with you.
A lot of people have been talking about it going that was just a weird time to bring that shit up. You know, he's saying he's freaking out about having kids, but you don't go, oh, and by the way, you don't have to worry about that because I'm sterile. I've been sterilized.
You can just, you know what? How about you don't have to worry about it? Right there, just in the sentence. I want to get back to the fear sequences because I talked about this with Bert too. That was a major missed opportunity, and I'm hoping that we get more expanded on that because I guess some were prophetic and some weren't. The Tony one was done well. Yes. I love the fact they didn't show the Hulk one. I want to know what the hell the Hulk was afraid of because you saw him like getting stuff off him or something like that. So like, what is the Hulk afraid of?
The Hulk, well, you got to remember him getting stuff off of him. Remember Hulk End of Days?
Oh yeah.
He's always being eaten by roaches, these gigantic roaches.
Yeah. So
I think that's what it is.
Okay. That's cool. I was kind of hoping he was being attacked by other Hulks. And I wish that was a great opportunity to show a gray Hulk and a red Hulk and to put that out there. I'm just saying it.
Yeah.
Thor, they were alluding to the Ragnarok. I wish they would have shown that more. But what the fuck was the Black Widow? Like, I'm on a gurney, then I'm playing then I'm a ballerina, then I'm shooting, and then I got a disapproving mother, and then I got an approving mother.
Training.
Yeah, that, obviously. But like, they also, for one, she has a superpower. The girl has, you can see that she's basically the Russian Captain America. There's no way she can do all the shit she does. You know, a stop on a dime without her brains coming out on the back of the Hulk or something like that. There's a superpower there with Natasha. She is a super. And they did point that out, that Hawkeye is the only one without superpowers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They did say that. And, so,
you know, I got to go back. Hawkeye, I'm glad Jeremy Renner got a little more screen time on this.
Yeah.
Especially the whole thing with Quicksilver.
That was awesome.
Man. He goes, all I got to do is no one know. Just got, you know, Ultron came by, sat on his ass. That was the last we heard of him. Boo-hoo. Cry for the kid.
Yep. You know? Yep. No, there was great scenes in it. There was great scenes. Another missed opportunity is with the Cap. Like, his biggest fear was missing his date with his girl. It's like, fucking move on. They showed it a little bit, but I was hoping it would be a ballroom scene of a bunch of dancing dead soldiers. That would have been cool with that. Well,
that's what it was. It was all these people that were in there were dead.
They really muted it though, and I hope in the DVD that will be unrated and
it's a PG-13.
Let me guess, it'll be an unrated special edition.
Hopefully.
And limited to a gazillion copies. I think I'm looking forward to the DVD. I really am. And I love DVD. I love Blu-ray or whatever, or digital download. I love the fact that they make them. You just froze. Are you still with me?
With you.
Okay, hang on.
Can you hear me?
Your frozen shot is awesome. There you go. Okay. You're moving again. You're pixelated as hell, but you're moving. So I'm looking forward to the Blu-ray. I want to see it again. I got to watch it again, but my initial thought is really, really a great film. It was a good film. I'm not apologetic about it. I've got nothing vested into this. They don't pay me. If it sucked, I would tell you, but I enjoyed it. My family enjoyed it. My kids walked away. Logan remembered it and talked about it afterwards and wanted to play superhero games and stuff. So he was inspired by it. But let's talk about Wanda Maximoff now, the Scarlet Witch. And I thought she was done pretty well, to be honest with you.
She was done fairly well. I liked her a lot better than I liked Pietro.
Yes.
Pietro, thank you. I don't know. You can never tell with a fake Russian accent if it was Pietro or Pietro. It was very badly done. But anyway, yeah, she was actually a lot better than he was, I have to admit.
So, do you think there's any accident at all that the two Quicksilvers came from Kick-Ass? I just don't think that's an accident. That there's, it's too big of a world. That's not possible. Forget it. No way.
I don't know.
No, but whatever. Let's move on. Let's get on to, okay, Wanda was great. Her powers look cool. But let's talk about the obvious new Avenger that was the shit. And that was your boy. Dennis has cast Paul Bettany in everything. Because he kind of should be in everything. He cast him as a Joker.
He should be. Yeah. The thing is, he's never had a good role until now.
Knocked the Vision out killed of the park. It. I mean, killed it. Dude, yeah, I got emotional seeing the Vision come to life. The Vision was in the first comic book I read. Marvel Team Up 42 was the first comic book I read cover to cover. It had Vision in it and Scarlet Witch and Spider-Man fighting Dr. Doom and an evil pilgrim back in the 1500s. But let's continue. What'd you think, man?
I loved it. And the fact that, you could see him growing little by little. It was really fast. I mean, he's growing little by little, but little quips aside, I mean, one of the things that made me laugh too was the whole Thor thing with the hammer. You know, he used the hammer and it's got great balance. He goes, you need to have a little bit of light so you can have that swing through.
Yeah, that was so cool. That was, and it's obviously because he has the life gem in him, but he's truly Vision. That was pretty much how the origin went. They stuck and they didn't, do what DC would have done, even on Arrow, was put him in a black costume and call him Vision, or even on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They gave him a costume. The cape came out and people even laughed in a good way when the cape went down. It's like, why the fuck not? I want a cape, they didn't showcase one of his powers though.
Oh, they actually did. You mean where he phases?
Yeah.
He phases through one of the Ultron robot's chests. That was when War Machine turns around and goes, damn, who the hell is that?
Yeah. Oh, and that scene where all three of them use their little, their rays, on one of the Ultrons or on Ultron himself, who was it? It was Tony Stark. It was Vision and Thor
And Thor. And Scarlet Witch. It was four of them.
Yeah, that was freaking awesome. And when Pietro did bite it and Scarlet Witch did her, and everything just went, that was cool too. That was lots of cool moves. And let's, the Hulk armor, it came in earlier than I expected, and that was the shit. It totally delivered. Yes. Boom, 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 the jackhammer Veronica. Fist. Veronica, yeah. Oh, yeah. And
I also he goes, Veronica, I'm getting a little banged up here. Can you give me a hand? And the hand comes flying down and pop
that
back
was
on.
Dude, that was so rad. A satellite in space. Ah, that was rad. So, dude, too many good moments in this movie to call it bad. Indigo, my son, was saying, people on the internet are calling it crap. I'm like, who's calling it crap? I mean, unless you're a DC fan.
It's just hipster, it's these hipster fuckheads. So, you know what? They have to. Because they don't know what good is because their trousers are a little too tight. That's all.
It's just miserable people who want to, it was, like I said, it was this time. Marvel had hit so many things right that it's time for, the people to bring them down because, you know, resent anybody with success or happiness, and let's bring the happiness down for all the fans. You know,
I want to say also the one thing that made me laugh the hardest was, and I could tell it was Joss Whedon's way of just kind of thumbing his nose at DC, was they even saved the fucking dog.
Yes, they saved the dog. There wasn't collateral damage, you know, dude. Yeah.
You see this dog running into the lifeboat, and I started laughing. I'm like, you know what? He had enough time to save the dog. That's Joss Whedon's way of going, you know, see, this is the way heroes actually act.
Yeah.
To save people. Yeah.
They don't stare at their costume and wondering about the darkness inside, as Jeremy Irons talks about it. You know, and we will talk about the trailer. We talked about the trailer ad nauseum in the last podcast about, you know, and there's going to be comparisons. And, you know, I want to remind DC and Marvel fans that you want both of them to be good. I don't understand why you root for one company like a sports team. I mean, you're not making any money from it. We just want, I mean, you can like what you like, and that's cool. And it's cool to dislike shit. Hey, we're here to give unsolicited opinions. I'm not here to be on the fence about anything. Nobody wants to hear a podcast about that shit. But, you know, I like the movie. It had flaws. That's it. It had flaws, but it's a superhero movie. I don't care.
And again, you know? I think it was mainly due to what was cut out, honestly.
Yeah. I liked it. No apologies. And I would tell you if I didn't. I would tell you if it sucked. I'm not paid by Marvel, and my life goes on. I don't care. So what we have to look forward to next, we talked a little bit about Agent Shield Ant-Man. Completely. You know, Ant-Man's coming up. You know, we got Fantastic Four coming out, which Josh Trank, you want to talk about that real quick? Dropped out of Star Wars today. I guess he was going
to I don't think he dropped out. I think he was kind of pushed out, from what I understand.
Oh, absolutely, because I heard the screenings for Fantastic Four are just a mess.
So
this is your one good superhero movie this year, kids, until Ant-Man comes out. And I don't know if Ant-Man's going to be good or not. I don't know. I'm still very
off the lunch on that. I think Ant-Man's going to be fun. I think Ant-Man's going to be a lot of fun, tell you the truth.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know you're against it, but did you see?
I'm not against the trailer. I just don't think they're gonna. The spirit of Ant-Man was supposed to be a comedy. I mean, it was essentially supposed to be a fucking comedy, you know, like a black comedy. And Disney, and you could still do a black comedy at PG-13. It could be a very satirical comedy. The one scene with the train set was freaking hilarious, but they shouldn't have showed that. They should have way saved that. You know what I did like about Avengers Age of Ultron, Dennis, is none of the trailers really ruined the movie. They kept showing the same shit over and over again. And it was all from the beginning. They didn't show much of the end at all. So I felt like that was well done. Well done.
That was the other thing I wanted to talk about. The stinger that we did get.
Oh, yes.
Thanos.
Yes.
And putting on the gauntlet.
Which I thought was awesome.
Of course, and you know where he's at when he's putting on the gauntlet, right?
No, I didn't notice.
He's in the vault at Asgard. Because you know who's running Asgard now?
It's Loki. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm surprised Loki wasn't in it either.
That was the other thing. Yeah, they said that was cut out as well. There was some portion of Loki that was in there, but that got cut out because of the running time. But, Thanos is in Asgard in the vault, putting on the gauntlet, saying, "I'm going to take care of this myself."
Yep. So, hopefully, you know, I wasn't all for Ultron. I was kind of hoping Thanos would. This was almost exposition for the Avengers to get to another team. That's why I say a lot of ways this is Iron Man 2. And I know some people hate Iron Man 2. I don't. I like Iron Man 2. I know Mickey Rourke was kind of a mess in it, but I'd still like Iron Man 2. It's still, none of this shit happens without Iron Man 2. So I'm really looking forward to phase 3. Really disappointed Agent Shields for not tying into the movies more. I hope they clean that shit up or it's going to get canceled.
It's going to get canceled, I think, is what's going to happen. I think they're just waiting for it to go down so much quality that they can just cancel it without,
Well, yeah, and they don't have to worry. They've got TV set, you know what I mean? They've got a network. They can come out with another show with superheroes in it. And I think it has now been proven you can do a superhero TV show. Daredevil, I mean, Flash and Arrow have done it, and then Daredevil took it to the 20 levels above that. And I love me some Flash and Arrow. I love them.
Oh yeah. But I mean, tomorrow
they're not even they're not even in the class of Daredevil. Not even in the class.
We've got Grodd coming out tomorrow.
We've got Grodd. Real quick before we end this. Okay, so thumbs up on Age of Ultron. Yay. But yes, real quick, yes, I do want to talk about one DC movie, and this will be our DC movie news.
This week in DC movie news.
I saw the picture of the Suicide Squad today.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. That looks terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. We were saying, Aaron and I actually were saying, it looks like a frat party that decided to do cosplay.
Cosplay. Yes, that's what I thought too. It looked like a bad cosplay. Especially when like Will Smith puts on his Twitter, "Hey, look at me with the mask." And the mask makes his head look like a size 15. You know, and it looks like one of those rubber masks that you, I mean, it like, are you kidding me?
You know, it, to me, it looked like a Spalding ball is what it looked like. It did. Looked like a volleyball.
It did. And dude, Killer Croc looks like.
Yeah, I thought that was a shark.
I thought it was Solomon Grundy or something like that. I mean, like.
You couldn't figure out. Yeah, it just didn't look right. And even Harley Quinn doesn't look right. She's kind of weird looking. I don't know. There's something off on her even.
Well, for one, she looks like a freaking whore. I'm sorry, but that's not my Harley Quinn.
Well, yeah.
Bruce Timm and Paul Dini created the perfect Harley Quinn, and then Jim Lee got his damn little mucks on it because Jim Lee's a misogynist and made her a freaking whore. She's not a whore. She's a intelligent, crazy woman. And you know what? Way sexier in the toned down costume. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
But I do want to talk about one more thing on Age of Ultron. In those dream scenes, here's another thing they missed out on, is opening it up to the supernatural universe. You could have had 1 second of Dormammu or something. You could have opened it up. Because Daredevil did. Daredevil opened up the supernatural universe just a little bit. And what was the news we got today? That you put it on Sutro Watched Our Podcast? That they got the rights back to Blade? Ghost Rider?
Yep, and Punisher.
And Punisher. Well, forget the Punisher. I know Joss Whedon would never have the Punisher in the Marvel Universe. I don't need the Punisher. The Punisher is a one-trick pony to me. But Ghost Rider, fuck yes. And Blade? And bring Wesley Snipes back. Bring that tax-evading mofo back. He's Blade. Or at least the guy from the TV show. I don't know.
See, the guy from the TV show, you had that weird eye that kind of like...
I mean, he couldn't act. I'm sorry. No, Wesley Snipes... Yeah. Is Blade. And if they brought him back, for one, it would be a nod to what kind of start this whole superhero movie thing. Forget the Batman movies. It was started with Blade. Okay.
Exactly.
Blade in 96 started what we're enjoying right now. And it's going to end, folks. It's going to end someday.
Yes.
I think Star Wars, if it's successful, will put the spike in the superhero movie. Because
you know why? It's not going to be successful. I'm going to go on a limb right now and just say that after this J.J. Abrams version, the rest are just going to suck and it's going to go straight downhill.
Dennis, the Fast and the Furious 7 made over $1 billion. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
And it's not good. I mean, it's entertaining and everything, but it's not a good film.
It's not a good movie. No.
Okay. Star Wars will be better than that. And Star Wars will break every record known to man.
That's because we already know this. Star Wars fans will see anything because they eat it up.
They will.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to say this, but...
I reserve the right to like it and change my mind, but I don't have high hopes right now.
And I'm not going to say what I want to say out loud because I'll get a lot of nasty comments on YouTube.
Say it.
No. I'm not just going to, you know...
Say it.
Star Wars fans are stupid. That's all. They'll watch anything.
On May the 4th, he says this, ladies and gentlemen.
I did. Oh,
God. Okay.
And I count myself a Star Wars fan, okay? But the thing is, I won't watch anything Star Wars.
Well, I want to make a shirt. I'm sure it's out there that says "The Prequels Never Again" in Star Wars font. The Prequels Never Again.
It
burned us. And you know what? What's even worse is and I count this against Star Wars, is that damn Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull. That was after you beat the shit out of me. You kicked me in the balls while I was down and then spat on me and then had sex with my girlfriend. you know, a talk by talking her into it, not against her will. Like you actually talked her into it because you charmed her. Okay, that's what it was. So, all right, well, you know, we gotta cut. Go on.
Going back to Age of Ultron, there's one thing when Thanos says, "Now I'm gonna have to do this myself," I'm gonna do this myself. I was thinking, so was Ultron actually part of his plan?
Yes.
Was that actually, so he had sent out, because remember they said that there was an AI that was wrapped around the mind gem.
Yeah. That was from the scepter, and the scepter's like a computer. And it's, it was all planned.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of assumed that from the beginning. I didn't think just an artificial, I mean, like, I don't know why we're always so obsessed that an artificial intelligence, like the first thing it wants to do is kill humans. Maybe it wants to grow a plant or have sex or eat peanut butter. Why does it want to kill humans every time?
Baby.
I am now sentient and I can think for myself. Kill humans. No, I don't. So that aside, I assume that all along. I assume that Ultron was part of something.
A lot of people aren't getting that. A lot of people aren't getting that. Reading.
A lot of people went to Fast the Furious. Yeah. Okay, so as I was saying, Thanos was behind. He's behind Hydra, dude. He's behind because he needs to take humans out of. He needs to take the superheroes out of the equation because they are the one thing that can stop him, especially Hulk. God, I hope they do a Planet Hulk movie. I hope they do that.
That's what I thought they were going to allude to there when he jumped aboard the Quinjet.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, where's this going? And then it's like, no, they just went someplace else. And I'm like,
well, you can't have Civil War with the Hulk. You got to get rid of him somehow.
And yeah, it makes sense.
That's the reason you took him out of the story, because he can end it. And speaking of ending, go on.
Oh, no, I did like, Ultron's thing when Hulk jumps aboard the Quinjet. Oh, what the? Not again.
I know. Come on.
He gets thrown out.
Oh, speaking of end it, was that it for Robert Downey Jr.? It felt like the end to me.
I don't think so. I think he's going to do Civil War, and that's going to be it for him.
Okay. So, I'm really interested. I hope they don't do it passively. I'm really interested to see how the Guardians of the Galaxy are going to tie in to the Marvel Universe. And I hope they don't do it in a way where they said something about changing team, which is fine. But I think the Guardians of the Galaxy can beat its own thing for at least two more movies. But, dude, again, this is a new world we live in, Dennis. And you and I have both been a proponent for television. And I'll tell you why. I don't want to wait two freaking years anymore for a story. I just don't. This Marvel, you know what? Everybody just assumes this Marvel Universe thing is just going to happen and make it to the end. And it probably will. It's got a very good chance. But if two of those movies bomb, and I mean bomb hard, it could end it. You won't get a Civil War.
Sure.
I mean, Disney could pull the plug. And that's why I didn't want Disney to buy Marvel. Everybody's loving it right now. Talk to me in 10 years. Talk to me in 10 years. In 10 years, when they're not publishing comic books anymore, talk to me. And
we said this 10 years ago though too, and when e-readers came out, and you know they're not going to be publishing comic books anymore.
Well, I mean, do you think for do you still doubt doing it? They are in very small numbers, but it's going to change the industry.
People aren't reading. A lot anymore. Even books, same thing.
I know.
But there's too much attention for other things going on that people aren't reading anymore. That's just reading, normally reading. And it sucks. I mean, I know I've stopped reading a lot. I used to read a lot, and I don't read as much as I do anymore. So, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I try to read as much as I can, but... yeah, it's a dying art, and you know, Free Comic Book Day, I heard, was a great success everywhere, and that's good because it took so long to catch on, but it was free. You know, talk to me on Dollar Comic Book Day, see how many people show up. But I don't want to sound negative against that. I love comic books. I don't want to see them go away. They'll stay in some form or another, but as far as being published, let's really put it this way: Marvel will always be around as long as Disney's back, as long as they're behind this. But you know, if Disney as a company hits hard times, I know people can't think of it right now, but you know what? They did. Talk to me about Disney back in the '80s. And yeah. Remember when Disney bought the Angels and they bought the Mighty Ducks and then they sold them out? Yeah. It can happen to the Marvel Universe too. But I predict, here's my prediction, that the DC Universe will stop publishing before the Marvel Universe. It's such a mess.
I have a feeling, that's definitely going to happen. I mean, we saw what I posted up earlier this week about what DC's doing to creators.
I read that. That was a great read. Go back and read that that post, by the way. Preface it for us real quick.
Yeah. Basically, what's going on is one of the creators, Jerry Conlin, I think.
Conway.
There we go. He had created Killer Frost. And Felicity Smoke, a whole bunch of characters for DC. And basically what DC has now gone on and said is that any characters that they may have created, they need to put in writing before that character is used in any other form, like film or cartoons or whatever, that they get a right to it. So he's created something over 500 characters. So he would have to go back and write 500 letters, over 500 letters for all these different characters, saying that he has creative rights to these people, that you know he deserves to get paid. Whereas before, he was already getting paid by DC, when it was DC, not WB.
When it was DC Comics, not DC Entertainment. Yeah.
Yes. Well, so now they're saying that, for example, Caitlin Snow, who is on Flash, who becomes Killer Frost. Her Killer Frost's original ID was another person entirely, but after the 52 became Caitlin Snow. So now, because Caitlin Snow was developed by two other comic book creators, they're saying that not even they're getting credit for her character. They can't get it either because, as they put it, quote unquote, no one has created that character.
Yeah, I saw that. The best example is Power Girl. Power Girl was derived from Superman, so she was not considered original because she was derived from another character, which is total effing BS. Here's the deal. DC gave them this. This was their idea to give them creative rights. Why? To steal people from Marvel, because Marvel doesn't give anybody rights to shit.
Yeah.
So DC did this and then decided one day, you're not getting it because we're DC Entertainment anymore. And nobody created that character. It popped into existence by itself, right? I mean,
yeah. It hurts your head when you try and think about it. Right now, I'm actually starting to get a headache trying to think about it because it just doesn't make any sense. And it's a argument that they used for Power Girl back in the 70s and they lost in court. So basically, all you have to do is take DC to court if you're one of those creators, use that same, defense that, hey, they lost us in the 70s, boom, and you get your creative rights back. But who has the money to do that?
Well, you know what? That's why we have the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. Oh, wait, they don't do shit.
Yes.
They really don't do shit. I'm sorry, I'm calling them out, but like they should be all over the place doing pro bono work because you would get tons of money because you would win a lot of these cases. Intellectual property is a murky area with a lot of crocodiles in that murky little swamp. Believe me. You know what? I say this in life. I said this is some unsolicited advice. We'll put a little segment. Unsolicited advice from your old pal Gary here.
Just have a little stamp go.
If you work for somebody, never give them your best ideas. Give them 50%. But if you're making somebody else money, and especially if you don't feel like you're getting paid enough or appreciated, save your best ideas for yourself. You never know. You might go into business for yourself someday, and you have given away all your best ideas. Hold them tight. Keep them around for raise time or mostly for yourself. You got that, kids out there? Okay.
I believe Homer Simpson said it best. The half-assed way is the American way.
Exactly. Oh,
even God. Had a little song about it. The half-assed way.
It's like my friend John Reed told me in Hollywood, you fail upwards. You fail upwards in there. The more incompetent you are, the more you climb because you're less of a threat to your competitors. So on that note, Dennis, keep your boots on the ground and taste the rainbow.
And don't let the door hit your ass on the way out, America, because... Yeah.
Just know, like just that.
Exactly.
The door hit me on the ass on the way out. We will be back next weekend with Aaron Bartell.
So we should, hopefully. He's at Disneyland right now because it's May the 4th.
Oh, God, what a fucking nerd. Hey, why isn't he over in England trying out for Top Gun for the new as the new host?
God.
Can we talk? We're going to talk about that next podcast. I didn't even know this. This was like a month old. Shit. This is like my powers. Ooh, there's a poltergeist in here. Top Gun, the entire, like the biggest show in the world. Top Gear. Did I say Top Gun? Top Gear. Top Gear fired their, like, this was the dumbest move. It was a bunch of egomaniacs out of government. This is why government should not own fucking television. Because somebody got his feelings hurt and maybe got smacked in the face over bad catering. And maybe it was a bad idea, but that guy made you billions of dollars.
Yeah, but he was, from what I understand, he cost them a lot more money than he made them.
Well, I don't know. He's got people lining up like Sky Network and Netflix. They're all three of them. And I love their solidarity. And I love that show, by the way. And I don't care how many caterers he fucking hits. You know what? Give him a sandwich and make sure it's right. He's Jeremy fucking Clarkson, okay? That's, you don't think anybody else is like that? Come on. So, you know, that show's dead. I mean, there's nobody, no way anybody could take the place of that show. It's just dead. And you know what? What's funny is they can go do the same damn show. It's a car show. You don't own the rights.
Yeah.
You know, they could call it Flop Deer or something like that, or whatever they want to call it. You know, or maybe he can join Driving Sports TV. Little plug there for our buddy Aaron.
Maybe he actually just filmed a segment this weekend. This last week.
He did. Oh. That's good. That's good. Aaron and I, we're geeky gearheads. So we have, we work in the car industry and our other jobs and our other interests. Dennis, love you, man.
I love you too, Gary. I miss you.
I miss you too. Hey, my wife's down there right now. She's in San Diego.
Oh, yeah. What's she doing down here?
She's doing some hair show with the hair people. They're making the world silky smooth. Okay, so peace out.
See you later.
Like them. May the 4th. Oh, may the 4th be with you, Star Wars fans. I love you. Bye, Dennis.
See ya.